a studious man who taught at a small college in the western United States. Dr. Christensen taught a required course in Christianity at this particular institution. Every student was required to take this course, regardless of his or her major. Although Dr. Christensen tried hard to communicate the essence of the gospel in his class, he found that most of his students looked upon the course as nothing more than required drudgery. Despite his best efforts, most students refused to take Christianity seriously. This year, Dr. Christensen had a special student named Steve. Steve was only a freshman, but was studying with the intent of going on to seminary. Steve was popular, well-liked, an imposing physical specimen. He was the starting center on the school football team and the best student in the class. One day, Dr. Christensen asked Steve if he could talk with him. "How many push-ups can you do?" Steve said, "I do 200 every night." "200? That's pretty good, Steve," Dr. Christensen said. "Do you think you could do 300? "I don't know," Steve replied. "I've never done 300 at a time." "Do you think you could?" again asked the professor. "Well, I could try," said Steve. "Could you do 300 in sets of 10? "I have a class project and I need you to do about 300 push-ups in sets of 10 for this to work. Can you do it?" "I need you to tell me you can do it," said Dr. Christensen. Steve said, "Well, I think I can." "Yeah, I can do it." Dr. Christensen said, "Good, I need you to do it this Friday. Let me explain what I have in mind." Friday came and Steve got to class early and sat in the front of the room. When class started, the professor pulled out a big box of donuts. Now, these weren't the normal kind of donuts. These were the big, fancy kind with cream centers, frosting swirls. Everyone was pretty excited that it was Friday, the last day of class, and the last class of the day, and they were going to get an early start on the weekend with a party in Dr. Christensen's class. Dr. Christensen went to the first girl in the first row and said, "Cynthia, would you like one of these donuts?" Cynthia said, "Yes, please." Dr. Christensen then turned to Steve and asked, "Steve, would you please do 10 push-ups so that Cynthia may have a donut?" "Sure." Steve jumped up from his desk, did 10 quick push-ups, and then returned to his desk. Dr. Christensen put a donut on Cynthia's desk. Dr. Christensen then went to Joe, the next person, and asked, "Joe, do you want a donut?" Joe said, "Yes." The professor said, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Joe can have a donut?" Steve did 10 push-ups, and Joe got a donut, and so it went down the first aisle. Steve did 10 push-ups for each person before they received a donut. Dr. Christensen continued down the second aisle till he came to Scott. Scott was on the basketball team and in as good a physical condition as Steve. Scott was popular and never lacking female companionship. When the professor asked Scott, "Would you like a donut?" Scott's reply was, "Yes, if I can do my own push-ups." Dr. Christensen said, "Nope. Steve has to do them." Scott said, "Then I don't want one." The professor shrugged and then turned to Steve and asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Scott can have the donut he doesn't want?" With perfect obedience, Steve started to do the push-ups. Scott yelled, "Hey, I said I didn't want one." Dr. Christensen said sternly, "Look, this is my class, these are my desks, and these are my donuts. Just leave it on the desk if you don't want it." And he put a donut on Scott's desk. Now, by this time, Steve had begun to perspire and was starting to slow down a little. He just stayed on the floor between sets because it took too much effort to get up and down. As Dr. Christensen started down the third row, many students were beginning to get a little angry. Dr. Christensen asked Jenny, "Jenny, do you want a donut?" Jenny's answer was a firm no. Then Dr. Christensen said to Steve, "Steve, would you do 10 more push-ups so Jenny can have a donut that she doesn't want?" Steve did 10. Jenny got a donut. By now, a growing sense of uneasiness filled the room. The students were beginning to say no, and there were all these uneaten donuts on the desks. Steve also had to put forth a lot of extra effort to get these push-ups done for each donut. There was a pool of sweat beneath his face, and his arms were beginning to turn red because of the physical effort being put forth. Because Dr. Christensen could no longer bear to watch Steve's hard work go for all these uneaten donuts, he asked Robert, the most vocal unbeliever in the class, to watch Steve do each push-up to make sure he did all 10 in each set. As the professor started down the fourth row, he noticed some students from other classes had wandered in and sat down on the steps along the radiators that ran down the sides of the room. He did a quick count and saw there were now 34 students in the room. He started to worry that Steve would not be able to make it. He went on to the next person and the next and the next. Nearing the end of the row, Steve was really having a hard time. It was taking a lot more time to complete each set. Just then, Jason, a recent transfer student, came into the room. He was about to enter when at once all of the students yelled, "No, don't come in!" Jason didn't know what was going on. Steve picked up his head and said, "No, let him come." Professor Christensen said, "You realize that if Jason comes in, you'll have to do 10 push-ups for him." "Yes, let him come in. Give him a donut." Dr. Christensen said, "Okay, Steve, I'll let you get Jason's out of the way right now. Jason, do you want a donut?" Not even knowing what was going on, Jason said, "Yes, I'll have a donut." "Steve, will you do 10 push-ups so that Jason can have a donut?" Steve did 10 very slow and labored push-ups. Jason, bewildered, was handed a donut and sat down. Dr. Christensen finished the fourth row and started on the visitors seated by the radiators. Steve's arms were now shaking with each push-up and a struggle to lift himself against the force of gravity. Sweat was profusely dripping off his face, and there was no sound except his heavy breathing. By this time, there was not a dry eye in the room. The very last two students in the room were two young women, both cheerleaders and very well liked. Dr. Christensen went to Linda and asked if she wanted a donut. Linda said very sadly, "No, thank you." The professor quietly asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Linda can have a donut she doesn't want?" Grunting from the effort, Steve did 10 very slow push-ups for Linda. Then Dr. Christensen turned to the last girl, Susan. "Susan, do you want a donut?" Susan, with tears streaming down her face, pleaded, "Dr. Christensen, why can't I help him?" Dr. Christensen, with tears of his own, explained, "No, Steve has to do it alone. I've given him this task, and he is in charge of seeing that everyone here has an opportunity for a donut, whether they want it or not. When I decided to have a party this last day of class, I looked at my grade book. Steve is the only student with a perfect grade. Everyone else has failed a test, skipped class, or offered up inferior work. Steve told me that in football practice, when a player messes up, he has to do push-ups. I told Steve that none of you could come to the party unless he paid the price by doing your push-ups. He and I made a deal for your sakes. Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Susan can have a donut?" As Steve very slowly finished his last push-up with the understanding that he had accomplished all that was required of him, having done 350 push-ups, his arms buckled beneath him and he fell to the floor. Dr. Christensen turned to the room and said, "And so it was that our Savior, Jesus Christ, pled to the Father, 'Into thy hands I commend my spirit.' With the understanding that he had accomplished all that was required of him, he yielded up his life for us. And like some of those in this room, many leave the gift on the desk, uneaten." Two students helped Steve up off the floor into a seat, physically exhausted, but wearing a smile. "Well done, good and faithful servant," said the professor, adding, "Not all sermons are preached in words." Turning to the class, the professor said, "My wish is that you might understand and fully comprehend all the riches of grace and mercy that have been given to you through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God spared not his only begotten Son, but gave him up for us and for the whole world now and forever. Whether we choose to accept this gift to us, the price for our sins has been paid. Wouldn't it be foolish and ungrateful just to leave it laying on the desk?" Thought that was a good story. You can open your Bibles to John chapter 1. And I want to talk tonight about the power in the name. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. But in order to access the power in the name, you have to believe in the name. And you know, we've been given the right to use the name of Jesus. We've been given the authority to use the name of Jesus. But it's an option for us. We can, but we don't have to. And we have the power of attorney to use that name to do what we need to do. You know, if Charlie back there were to sign over to me a power of attorney, an unlimited power of attorney, I could then sell whatever Charlie has. With that power of attorney, I could transact all of Charlie's business without him being present. I could handle all of his personal business affairs without him being present. And with that power of attorney, I could do it completely legally. I could write checks on his account. I could open and close bank accounts for him. I could sell his property. I could buy property for him. I could do whatever needs to be done for Charlie if I had his power of attorney. And Jesus has given us that power of attorney to use the most powerful name in the universe. And that is the name of Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it said, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." He gave the right to become the children of God to them who believe in his name. See, you have to understand and believe that there's more power in the name of Jesus than there is in anything else. There's more power in the name of Jesus than there is in the name of cancer. There's more power in the name of Jesus than there is in the name of the common cold. There's more power in the name of Jesus than there is in the power of any demon out of hell. There's more power in the name of Jesus than anything else on earth. There is nothing more powerful than the name of Jesus. But we've become the children of God to them who believe in that name. And it takes a firm belief. You know, like Paul says, "I am persuaded that he is able to do that." Do what? Anything. Because with God, nothing is impossible. And when you begin to use the name of Jesus above every other name, the name of Jesus, the power in that name will change the course of history for you. Amen? Go over to John chapter 14. Starting with verse 13. "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, he doesn't exclude anything here. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, obviously, you can't ask things that are contrary to the Word of God. You know, Charlie, you can't ask for your neighbor's wife. A, you have your own wife, and B, you're not to covet your neighbor's wife. Okay? Chuck, you can't ask for your neighbor's car. You got to get your own, unless the neighbor's car is for sale. Amen? But if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But see, it takes a believing in that name in order for that to work. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, he qualifies the statement beforehand with the next statement, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it, but if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, what are his commandments? His commandment, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as yourself, or love one another and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? I've never been one of the positive thinker type preachers. You know, that the power of positive thinking. I mean, I agree with their concepts, but they don't go deep enough. Some of them. I mean, certainly we should be positive in our speech and in our thinking, certainly. But they don't go deep enough, most of them. You know, there's more to it than that. But if you positively begin to believe in the power of the name of Jesus to the point where you positively believe this word in verse 13, that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Imagine the possibilities that it will unlock for you. Anything that is impossible has now become possible. You have just unlocked the power of possibility. When you believe, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But you have to believe it with all your heart. You can't half-heartedly believe it. You can't partially believe it. We have to learn to fully believe what Jesus said here. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Is there anybody out there that doesn't believe they're saved? See, there's salvation in the name. If you look at Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other name given under heaven among men by which we are saved. There's no other name you call me saved other than Jesus. Salvation in that name. If you were saved, you go to John. Starting with verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, there's salvation in that name. You'll not be put to shame. You'll not be destroyed. You'll not go to hell. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? There's healing in that name. If you go over to Acts chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive some of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I want you to worry. How about Muhammad?" No. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man jumped up and walked. He ran. It says he ran, he leapt, he had a Holy Ghost fit. If you flip over to chapter 4 here in Acts, verse 10, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. You can be healed by the name of Jesus. See, in the name of Jesus. I watched Kenneth Hagin one time go down a healing. I watched him several times go down a healing line. And he would start out, in the name of Jesus. Well, by the time he got to the end of the line, all he had to say was, in the name, because people knew what name he was speaking. In the name, and people would be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed. In the name of Jesus. That's all he had to say, in the name of Jesus, and people would get healed. Why? Because it's in the name of Jesus that all the gifts of salvation come to a believer. All the gifts of salvation come. See, salvation isn't just about our spirit. Salvation, when you receive Christ, you receive the whole package. The problem is with most believers, even those of us that have the full gospel, we weren't taught that way. We thought we got it in bits and pieces. No, they in fact, just the other day, you know, the saving of the soul. And his soul went, it didn't go anywhere. His spirit went, praise God. You worked toward the saving of the soul. Bunch of theological nonsense. You know, we have to be bold to speak the name. And it's taken more and more boldness anymore to speak the name. I got an email the other day that said, I like the old ways. You know, the old ways when you could speak the name of Jesus in the school. When you could speak the name of Jesus on the street. When you could speak the name of Jesus in the court. The old ways. You know, a lot of times I'm asked to pray at meetings. And the devil always tries to say, now be careful what you say. So I am. I'm very careful to jump up and I pray for wisdom according to the Word of God. And I pray that He directs the meetings and I thank Him that He's in charge in this county or wherever the meeting is, and then I say, and in the name of Jesus. And I don't care who they are. But you have to be bold. Look at Acts 4, starting with verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and realized they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle had been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old when this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their hearts and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. They're asking for more boldness. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. They spoke with boldness in the temple. The chief priests and elders didn't know what to do with them. So they said, don't speak that name anymore. So what did they do? They got back and prayed for more boldness, to speak it bolder than they had before. They didn't want to stop. They wanted to get more bold. See, if the mayor called us in and said, no, I don't want you preaching in the name of Jesus up there anymore, some of us would get all excited. Oh, I don't think we should gather together, and people would be leaving. Well, I'll get together and pray. Amen? I mean, these guys prayed for boldness. Why? Because it's the name of Jesus that works. They believed in the name. They had heard what Jesus said to them. They had heard, anything you ask in my name, I'll do. And they believed it. They believed that there was salvation in that name. They believed there was healing in that name. They believed there was power. Starting with verse 46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the anointed one in his anointing to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Should be preached in his name to all nations. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. Go ye into all the world and preach the good news. What's the good news? Jesus died for you. The name of Jesus will work for you. Come in the name of Jesus. Devil, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be born again. See, believe in the name. It is the name of Jesus that powers our prayers. Amen? Father, I thank you that we have the opportunity and the right as believers to use the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would settle in our hearts once and for all the belief in that name. Father, I ask for revelation knowledge of the power of the name of Jesus to settle in our hearts. Bring it to life in us, Lord. That we might know beyond any shadow of any doubt the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ, the anointed one in his anointing, the supernatural power in that name. Father, I thank you for it and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.